Today's shiur is Masechta Yuma Daf Lamed Vav, and we're going to begin on Daf Lamed Hayom Beis at the Mishnah on the bottom of the Amid. So as we learned yesterday, the Kohen Gadol brought the Korban Tamid, changed out of the Big Day Zav into the Big Day Lavin, and now Boloi it's a Paroi. He comes to the bull that the Tosfos Yontif tells us the Kohen Gadol bought from his own funds. It was standing in the area that's between the Beis HaMikdash and the Mizbeach. We'll discuss that more at length in the Gemara Mitzvah. Rosh Shel Adarim, its head is facing the south upon of Lamarav, and its face is to the west. Again, we'll discuss in the Gemara, is it the south or is it the west? Where is his head facing? The Kohen Oymed B'Mizrach, the Kohen stands on the east side, upon of Lamara facing the west side. V'shtoymich shtei yodav olav, he puts his two hands on top of the carbon. The halacha is that when a person brings a carbon, he has to do smicha, and when he brings a carbon for an aveira, he has to do vidu, he has to say vidu during the smicha, confess. The carbon that we're talking about was brought by adoy u'bad besoy, for himself and for his family. Most Rishonim say Beisai means his wife and family. Others say Beisai means strictly his wife. The reason this carbon was brought was for Tumas Migdash Ukdoshov. If the Kohen Gadol or any of his family members entered the Beis HaMikdash or the Azara when they were Tamei, or ate Kachim when they were Tamei, and he says the Vidui. V'kachoy Oimer. And this is what he exactly said. On Hashem, please Hashem avisi poshati chotosi. Again, the Gemara will discuss what this means. Lufanecho, ani ubeisi. I and my family. Ona Hashem, kapano lavoinos l'pshoam l'chatoim. Shavisi shavoshati v'shechotosi lufanecho, ani ubeisi. So, there's a machloikis. What does Hashem mean here? Everybody agrees that Hashem does not mean the way when we see the Shem Hashem, we say adnus. Here, he certainly pronounced Hashem's name. The only question is, what does it mean that he pronounced Hashem's name? Some say he pronounced the four letter Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. Others say that there's a Shem Hashem that's spelled with 12 letters. That's what he pronounced. And yet others say that he pronounced a Shem Hashem that is comprised of 42 letters. Tosfos makes the point that the first time he said, Ona Hashem, and the second time he says, Ona Bishem. What's the difference? Explains the Tosfos Yeshanim. The first time he said, Ona Hashem, he's confessing. He's saying vidui. And I'm saying to you, Hashem, I'm confessing for the averus I did. The second time when he says, Ona Bishem, it's not a vidui, says the Tosfos Yeshanim. It's a tefillah. I ask you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be meichel my averus. And then he continues in saying, as it says in the Torah, ki yom hazeh yichaper. The Sheshanim L'David asks, why does he have to mention Moshe Rabbeinu? So he answers, the Kohen Gadol comes now in the Beis HaMikdash, and he says, vidui, he wants to do tshuva. So it's sort of a chutzpah. The person did an aveira. Why should HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept our tshuva? So he says, kakosu b'sayrus Moshe avdecha. Moshe Rabbeinu already blazed the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu accepts our tshuva. V'hein oinim akrov, and they respond, Baruch Shem k'vay machus eloilam vod. Ritva says that although normally we pronounce Baruch Shem k'vay machus eloilam vod, whenever we say it belachash, we say it quietly, on Yom Kippur, since everybody is compared to a malach, just like the malachim say Baruch Shem k'vay machus eloilam vod out loud, so too may we do that on Yom Kippur. The Yerushalmi says that the Baruch Shem Kvoy Machus Eloilam Voed was said only by the people who stood next to the Kohen Gadol. Because the Yerushalmi says that although originally the Kohen Gadol used to say the Shem Hashem loudly, later on where we didn't want people to know how the Shem Hashem is pronounced, he used to say it quietly. Interestingly enough, that Rizal says he didn't even say it. So how, when a Shemayim, a voice emanated from him, saying the Shem Hashem. The Kohanim, or people who were standing near him, heard him. And there's a few ways of understanding Yerushalmi. Many Posh Pshan Yerushalmi, this way the Ratvaz learns Pshan Yerushalmi, the people around him bow down. And when the people around him bow down, everybody else standing there, seeing them bow down, would announce Baruch Shem Kvayim Achus Olam Avod. Others say that the people near him both bowed down and said Baruch Shem. The rest of the people just said Baruch Shem. The Tosfos Yontov says that from our Mishnah it seems that everybody just said Baruch Shem Kvayim Achus Olam Avod. There's nothing in our Mishnah about bowing down. Begins the Gemara. But before we begin the Gemara, we don't have a diagram, but let's try to understand how the Beis HaMikdash Kam and Azara stood. We had the Beis HaMikdash, which was built from east to west, and we have the Azara. In the Azara, we have the Mizbeach. The Mizbeach was in the middle of the Azara. The way our Gemara will learn, we'll learn a Gemara tomorrow perhaps differently, the Mizbeach was half on the north side, half on the south side. We also know that karbonos that are classified as kochei kochim have to be geshachten on the tzofon, on the north side of the mizbeach. Everybody agrees that the area to the north of the mizbeach, to the wall of the Azara, that width, which was 32 amos, is called tzofon hamizbeach. But there are two other areas in the Azara on the north side. There's the area of Ben Ulam Mizbeach, an area of 22 amos from the Mizbeach until the opening of the Beis HaMikdash, which we'll learn Rebbe Elazar of Shimon also includes as Tzofer Mizbeach. And then Rebbe goes a step further. He says not only the area adjacent to the Mizbeach, and not only the area between the Mizbeach and the Beis HaMikdash are considered Tzofon, but also the area when you enter the Azara, which is an area of 22 amos. The first 11 amma are the Ezras Yisrael, and the next 11 amma are the Ezras Kohanim, are all considered Tzofon. Says the Gemara, Man Shamitli, who's the Tan of our Mishnah, the Omar, that says Bein Ulam Mizbeach, that the area Bein Ulam Mizbeach is also considered Tzofon, says the Gemara. Rebbe Elazar of Shimon, it's going according to Rebbe Elazar of Shimon. The Tanya, as we learned in the Braisa, is it Tzofon? What area is designated as Tzofon where the Shechita of Kachi Kachim has to take place? And actually, not only the Shechita of Kachi Kachim has to take place, but the Smicha on Kabonis also has to take place in that area. So, says the Braisa, Mikir Shal Mizbeach, from the wall of the Mizbeach Tzfoini towards the north, at Kaisel Azara until the water of Azara, Ukenek Mizbeach, the entire width of the Mizbeach, the 32 Amis, which are the width of the Mizbeach, Kulay Tzofon. That entire area is considered Tzofon, Divrei Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. So according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, Tzofon is limited to that specific area, the area from the wall of the Mizbeach to the wall of the Azara, the width of the Mizbeach, 32 Amis. That is the only area that's Tzofon. Rabbi Elazar of Shimon Maisif, the area between the Mizbeach and the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash is also on the north side considered Tzofon. Rabbi Moisef, Rabbi goes even a step further. He says, Af Mokum Drisus Ragel Kahanim, where you enter the Azara, where you have 11 Amma, which is the Ezra's Kahanim, V'af Mokum Drisus Ragel Yisrael, and we have 11 Amma with the Yisraelim, the Ezra's Yisraelim, on the north side, according to Rabbi, is also considered Tzofon. Avol min chalifais ulefnim, hakol ma'adim shepasol. What are the chalifais? The Beis HaMikdash itself was 70 amos wide. And the ulam, which was the foyer or the room before the Beis HaMikdash, was 100 amos wide. So we have a surplus of 30 amma. 15, so we take that surplus and we divide it 15 and 15. And on each side of the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash, there was a room, which was 15 amos, where they kept the chalifos. Chalifos are the chalofim, are the knives, which were used, the Kohanim used to have such cubbies in those rooms, to leave the knives. So that room, even on the north side of the Beis HaMikdash, since it's a separate room, that room is not called Tzofin. Everybody will agree that that room is not called Tzofin. Ulefnim, and the area behind it, which is the area that falls behind the surplus, the place jutting out for the Beis Chalifos and the rest of the Beis HaMikdash, since it's separated from the rest of the Azara by the Beis Chalifos, by the room where the knives were kept, that area is certainly, everybody will agree, is not Tzofin. Salema, so I would say that our Mishnah that says that the area Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach is considered Tzofin is going according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon, he, V'loi Rebbe, because the Gemara wants to say that according to Rebbe, why would you have to shecht the carbon by, why according to Rebbe would you have to shecht the carbon in the Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach area? Why don't you shecht it in the Ezra's Kahanim, Ezra's Yisrael? And as Tosfos explains, the area next to the Mizbeach, we could understand, at least in the Havamina, the Maskana will see a different reason, why really wasn't a preferable area to use. Since that was the area that they kept a lot of the equipment that they needed to bring the Karbonos, and we don't want the animal to stand with its back to the Mizbeach, so we don't want, that area isn't an area that we could easily use to take the carbon to do the smicha on and the shechita on. But if Rebbe holds that the Ezra's Kahanim, Ezra's Yisrael area where we enter the Azara is considered Tzofin, so why shouldn't I do it there? Why shouldn't I do it? Why do I do Beit Ulam Mizbeach? Lema Rebbe Lezer Rav Shimon Hi. So when our Mishnah says that it was done there, maybe it's Rav Lezer of Shimon V'lei Rebbe. It's not going according to Rebbe. Because according to Rebbe, I should have done it in the Ezra's Kahanim of Ezra's Yisrael. Says the Gemara, Afil Temi Rebbe. No, we could say that our Mishnah is going according to Rebbe. Hashta, Ad Rav Yosef Rebbe Yehuda Moisef. If Rebbe holds that that area is considered Bei Tzofin, he certainly holds a Rebbe Lezer of Shimon Loi Moisef. Says the Gemara, Nan Hachimri. This is what our question was. E Rebbe he, if it's going to Rebbe, Nikma Bekula Azara, why do we shecht it by the Ezra's Kahanim of Ezra's Yisrael? Why do we bring it to the Ulam Mizbeach? Elamai, Rebbe Lezer of Shimon. Why, so you're going to say it's only going according to Rebbe Lezer of Shimon. According to Rebbe, like we learned a moment ago, we should have brought it in the Ezra's Kahanim of Ezra's Yisrael. So it says, even according to Rebbe Lezer of Shimon, for Nukme Ben Mizbeach L'Kaisel, Rebbe Lezer of Shimon agrees that the area that Rebbe Yosef of Yehuda identified as Tzofin, which is the area right next to Mizbeach at Tzofin, why do we take a Ben Ulam Mizbeach? El Mayis L'Chomema, what do you have to say? Mishim Chosh Dekoyim Gadol. Although the area next to the Mizbeach could have been used, according to everybody, to place to Shech the Par, because it's certainly Tzofin, we don't want to L'Chatchila use it. Why? Because that will involve the Kohen Gadol after shechting the carbon, having to have to transport it all the way from that area to the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash. We know that in Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, and we had this concern many times, is weak, and we want to make him do as little as possible, so that's why we bring the power, Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach, given that Rebbe Elazar of Shimon and Rebbe agree that that area is indeed considered suffering. The Rebbe Nami Mishum El Ma'aseh L'Chomei Mishum Shchosh Tukayin Gadol. That's why we don't do it next to the Mizbeach. We do it Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach. The Rebbe Nami, given that Rebbe agrees with Rebbe Elazar of Shimon that the area Bein Ulam L'Mizbeach is considered Tzofin Mishum Shchosh Tukayin Gadol. Although there would be a good reason, like we explained earlier, according to Rebbe, to do it in the Ezra's Kahan of Ezra's Yisrael, and according to Rebbe, those areas are indeed considered Tzofin. We don't want to do it because we don't want to bring it to an area which is going to involve Chosh the Kohen Gadol, that the Kohen Gadol will have a schlep to carry it all the way to the entrance to the Beis HaMikdash. So we learned in the Mishnah that how was the animal positioned? Rosh L'Darm, its head is facing the south of part of L'Marav. So obviously the question is, Heichem Shkachas Lo, and we mentioned this when we learned the Mishnah. Is the head to the south, was the head to the west. It can't be in both places. Amar Rav, Rav said, Ba'okimus Roshay. That means the animal actually is standing in a north-south direction. But we shift the face, we turn the face to face the entrance. Ask the Gemara, if we're going to have the face anyway and facing the entrance, the west, towards the west, the entrance of the Beis HaMikdash, so why don't we just, v'nukmei lahedya, why don't we just position the animal in the east-west position? Answers the Gemara, Amar Abaya, Gezeru Shemiyarbetz Kololim. If we have the animal facing its back, its rectum, facing the Mizbeach, it may expel some waste, which would be a big bizoyan, very embarrassing to the Mizbeach. So we therefore have the animal standing in a north-south position, where we don't have its back facing the Mizbeach, and like that, we just, but we do want its face, because it has to face the opening of the Beis HaMikdash, so we just turn the face that way. And actually, Rabbi Yoshua says in the Sefer, we try to keep the animal, even when it's on a north-south position, its back, it's facing as much to the north as possible, that it shouldn't be facing the Mizbeach, it should just be facing the back wall of the Azara, all again for this reason. So Tana Rabbanan, we learn in the Braisa, Ketzet Tzaymich, how exactly is Smicha done? Hazavach Oyme B'Tzofen, the animal stands B'Tzofen, and this Braisa isn't speaking specifically about Yom Kippur. This Braisa is speaking about any time a carbon, which is Kachay Kedoshim, is brought, and as we explained, the person who brings it has to do Smicha prior to the Shechita, so the Braisa wants to explain how that takes place. Or Panav Lamarav, but we have the face of the animal, it was just explained, facing the west side. V'soymich, the person that brought the carbon and has to do the smicha, oymed the mizrach, stands east or front of Lamar, that means he stands east to west, facing the west side. Omeyech shtei yodah ben shtei kranav shel zavach, he puts his two hands on the head of the carbon. Ovachei dovach choytzitz beinoi lebein hazavach, but nothing should be interposing, there should be no chatzitz between his hands and the head of the carbon. Some Rishonim say, certainly, he's not allowed to have anything else between his hands and the head of the carbon, but some say even one hand should not be on top of the other hand. The two hands should be side by side, not one on top of the other. The Rishonim also say, although we're learning now that smicha is so important, the halacha is that it's not ma'akif. If smicha didn't take place, the carbon is still kosher. Also, the halacha is that when smicha takes place, the person should not lean on the animal to the degree that if the animal were taken away, he'd fall. He has to do it in a standing position. Umesada, and he begins to say vidui. There's a machloikis harishoinim. If vidui is just part of the process of bringing a carbon, or vidui is a separate mitzvah to say vidui whenever somebody brings a carbon, or to say vidui on Yom Kippur. Al-Chatos, if somebody is bringing a carbon chatos, he says avon chatos, whatever aveira he did that should cause him to have to bring a carbon chatos. Val osham, if the person is bringing carbon osham, he says avon osham, whatever aveira caused him to say, whatever aveira caused him to have to bring a carbon osham. Val oila, if the person is bringing carbon oila, avon lechet shikha upeya. The halacha is that if somebody is collecting grain, he has to leave, if one or two bundles drop, he has to leave it for the poor people, that's lechet. Shikha, whatever he forgot, he has to leave. Upeya, he has to leave a corner. Or ma'isa'ani, every third year of the shmita cycle, in the third year, in the sixth year, 10% have to be left for aniyim. If a person did not leave these things, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, a carbon oila is mechaper that aveira. Rabbi Kiva disagrees, and he says, "Ein oila ba al asay." It only comes for an asay, or v'alois asay shenitek l'asay. There are certain lavim that even though they're a lav, and normally for a lav, the halacha is that one gets malchus if somebody is over a lav. But if it's nitek l'asay, it's connected to asay. The best example is that if it's gzeila, for example, Torah says you're not allowed to steal, but if somebody did steal, v'heshev is a gzeila, he should return what he stole. That is called a lav, hanitik lasei, and the halacha is that under such circumstances, you don't get malchus. Rabbi Kiva, and actually Rabbi Yossi Aglili won't disagree, says that that's where oil is mechapa for. But Rabbi Kiva will not agree, and we'll explain in Amud Beis why not, that an oiler should work for leket shechopei or meiser oni. So Tosfos and Rashi have a machloikis if meiser oni is included. Tosfos, as our Gemara, includes meiser oni that according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, carbon oiler helps for, is mechapa for. Rashi disagrees. Why does Rashi disagree? Because Rashi says that since we know that halacha is that after every 3 year cycle, one has to say Maisa Vidui Maiser, he has to say that he properly fulfilled all the mitzvahs of Trumas and Maisras. If one did not indeed fulfill it, he gets the kapara by saying Vidui Maiser. Says Rashi, Maiser Oni is included in that Vidui, so he doesn't need a carbon oila. According to anyone to be Mechaper, Vidui Maiser does it. Tosfos disagrees, because Tosfos says that if Vidui Maiser works for Maiser Oni, it should work for Leket Shechem Peye also, because he says the Gemara says that they're also included in the Vidui Maiser. Just what? Says Tosfos. Vidui Maiser only works for Maiser Risha, Maiser Sheini, Truma. It doesn't work for anything else, and that's why Maiser Oni, according to Tosfos, is no different than Leket Shechem Peye. Vidui Maiser doesn't make the Kapara, rather, according to Rabbi Yosef Aglili, you need carbon oil. Tosfos asks another question. If the barometer, as Tosfos, where oil works, is where there's no chi of malchus, so we know that a lav sheba klolus and a lav sheim b'maisa, also there's no malchus for. So why doesn't the Gemara list them as averis for which the carbon oil works? So some Rishonim actually say that they're included, and they carbon oil works for them. But Tosfos doesn't hold that way, and the explanation is as follows. An essay is something that could be corrected. It's not such a serious error. What's an example? Somebody didn't wear tefillin today. If he didn't wear tefillin today, he'll wear tefillin tomorrow. If somebody if somebody stole, he could correct it, return it. But a lav sheba klolus, a lav sheba maisa, even though there's no malchus, but it can't be corrected. Therefore, the aver is too serious for a covered oiler to help. The Rishonim also point out that although our Gemara doesn't mention, the halacha is that a carbon oil is also mechaper on a hirhurim. If somebody had inappropriate thoughts to do an avera, carbon oil helps. Now, as we explained, we have a machlokes, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yosef Aglili, if a carbon oil helps for leket shichur peya. Ask the Gemara Maika Mifki, what is the basis of that machlokes? Om Rabbi Yirmiya, belav the nevela kamifki. The Torah says the one is not allowed to eat an avela, and the Torah afterwards says legera shebisharecha tetnen avachla. What should you do with an avela? Give it to a ger toishiv. A ger toishiv is not a Jew; he's just a ger that lives in Eretz Yisrael and fulfills the zayim mitzvahs b'nei noach. So the question is that considered a lav hanitik lasei? On one hand, I could say it's a lav hanitik lasei. Because after the Torah tells us the lav of not eating the nevela, the Torah tells us the asay of giving it to the ger. On the other hand, you could say it's not a lav in the tiklasay. Why? Because a lav in the tiklasay, like we said before, the asay corrects the lav. Somebody stole, the asay says return what you stole. Here, if somebody ate nevela, giving the rest of the nevela to a ger doesn't correct it. So now the question is, according to Rabbi Yirmiya, is that considered a lav in the tiklasei? Rabbi Kiva holds, although the Torah speaks about an assay after the lav of eating the veil, a lav malyu, it's still considered a regular lav. It's not considered a lav in the tiklasei. Why? Because the assay, as we explained a moment ago, does not correct the lav. Rabbi Yosef Glili Sover, lav malyu, it's considered a lav in the tiklasei. Why? Because even though Rabbi Yosef doesn't disagree that the say doesn't correct the lav, Rabbi Yosef Glili says, what is the model in the Torah? What is the model in the Torah for a lav for which one receives malchus? The lav de chasima. The Torah says, "Loisachsim shor b'dishai." You're not allowed to muzzle an animal while it's working in the field. And that's what the Torah teaches us, the halacha, that if one is over a lav, he gets malchus. Since chasima is a lav where there's no essay afterwards, says Rabbi Yosef Glili, only a essay, only a lav where there is no essay afterward, only a lav where there is no essay afterward is considered a lav that's not tzedakah essay. Any situation where there's an essay after the lav, even though it doesn't correct the lav, it's considered a lav hanitikla say, for which a carbon oil is mechapa. Now let's go a step further. The Torah tells us, as we said in Amun Aleph, for leket katsir chaloi saket, don't take leket, la'oni lager tazavaisam. Leave it for oni nager. Says the Gemara, what is la'oni lager tazavaisam? The Gemara at this point. Says la'oni lager tazavaisam is not correcting the lav. If one took the leket or shikha or payah for himself, the lav is the lav. Now the Torah also said an essay. According to Rabbi Yosef Glili, even though the essay doesn't correct the lav, it's still considered a lav on the tiklasei. And therefore the carbon oil is mechaper. According to Rabbi Akiva, however, only an essay that corrects the lav is considered a lav on the tiklasei. This lav, the essay is not a corrector of the lav, and therefore it's not considered lav anitik lasei, and therefore the carbon oil is not mechaper. That's how Rabbi Yirmiyah explains. Abaye disagrees with Rabbi Yirmiyah's approach. Abaye amad the kula alma lav nevela lav malyahi. By nevela, it's a full-fledged lav. Why? Because certainly eating nevela is a lav. If I'll have another piece, and that can't be corrected if one chas v'shalom ate nevela. If he has another piece, that doesn't correct it. So Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Kiva will agree that that's not considered a lav anitik lasei. And Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Kiva will agree that one gets malchus, and a carbon oil would not help for that. What is the machloikis, according to Abaye? But tazav kamiflgi. When the Torah says, don't take the leket shikha peya, lo'oni lo'ger, for oni ager tazav isam, leave it. What does tazav isam mean? The Rekiva sava tazav mikara. What the Torah means, tazav, means that you should have left it. If you took it, it's too little and too late. And therefore, it's not a lava nitiklasei. And since it's not a lava nitiklasei, the oil can't be mechaper. Rabbi Yosi Aglili sava hashtamashma. What tazav isam means to say is that you shouldn't, of course, chas v'shalom, take in the leket shikha peya for yourself. But what if you did take it for yourself? Now return it. It's like Zayla. So just like Zayla, everybody agrees, is a lav anitik lasei. Rabbi Yosi Aglili holds, so is lecha shikha peya, a lav anitik lasei. Because Tazav Aysam is telling us that if you chas v'sholem, instead of leaving it for the poor people, took it for yourself, now you have a way of correcting it by giving it to them. And a lav anitik lasei, kavod oil is mechaper. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan, Ketzed Misfada, exactly how does one do vidi? The person says, Avisi Poshati V'chatasi. The Gemara will explain this in a moment. Similarly it says, regarding, we know on Yom Kippur there were two he-goats. One was brought as a carbon, and one was sent to Lazazel. We'll talk about it in Mitzvah Shem a lot. The Pasuk says, Misfada, Allah V'skol Avonis B'nei Yisrael. First we speak about the Avonis, Veskop She'ayim, then we talk about the Pshoim, L'kol Chetosam, regarding all their Averis. The came by Moshe Omer, and so too it says by Moshe Rabbeinu, when Moshe Rabbeinu was begging HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgiveness for Klal Yisrael, for the Aver of the Eagle, he said, Noisei Avon Ufesha V'chata. Divir Ameyam. The Chum disagree. And first, the Chum define the words. They say avoidos means hazadoinus. When somebody does an aver b'mezit, the keno oimer, he carries to karis hanefesh ahi avoinabo. When does somebody get karis chas v'shalom if he did an avera? If he did it b'mezit. So avoina means b'mezit. Pshoim means eila hamordim. That somebody that rebels, he knows that a Kadosh Baruch Hu said don't do it. He's not doing the aver because he has any desire. It's not like there's a nice piece of non-kosher food and the person can't control himself. The person knows, I have no interest in doing this. I just want to show God, you're not going to tell me what to do, Chas v'Shalom. V'keinu oimer melech moyef pashabi. Voimer, and similarly it says, os tif shalavona beisahi, beisahi, Levona will rebel. L'kol chatosom, what does chatos mean? Eila shkogas. That's when a person did an aver b'shogig. V'keinu oimer, and so it says in the pasuk, Nefesh kisechta b'shkaga. So according to Rabbanim, they don't understand what Remeyah says. Ma'achash is Vadal's doinus. If according to Remeyah, first we speak about the averus that he did b'mezit. Valmardim, and then he speaks about the averus that he did rebelled. Chayzmus Vadal shkagas. Does he speak about the averus that he did b'shagig? That order, say the Rabbanim to Remeyah, doesn't make sense. The sense should be, what should be is, El Kachoy Misvada. Chatasi. First he should mention the Averis that he did Bishoyig, which are, so to speak, the smallest Averis. Then he should speak about a VC, the Averis that he did Bemezit, which is a higher, worse Avera. And then Pashati, the Averis that he did to rebel Chas v'Shalom Ufanecha, and Neobesi. The Cain B'Dovid U'Oimer, and so too it says by David, Chatana v'seinu. First, David HaMelech spoke about the averus that he did b'shagig. Hevinu v'rshanu. So Mefarshim ask, why, when David HaMelech speaks about chatoim, averus that he did b'shagig, he mentions v'seinu. He mentions his forefathers. But when he talks about the averus that he did b'mezid or b'merid, he doesn't mention his forefathers. So the answer is very simple. When somebody does an avera b'shoig, when somebody does avera b'mezid, so he knows exactly what he's doing. Mezid means it's premeditated. So you can't say that I saw this from my forefathers, I saw this from my, where I grew up, and that's why I did it. You knew exactly what you were doing. So you can't say ima v'seinu. However, when somebody does an avera b'shoigig, it wasn't obviously premeditated. He could say, you know how I came to do this avera? Unfortunately, that's what I saw in my home, and that's why he could use it as an excuse. Chatanu, hevinu, hirshanu. Again, going in order. Chatanu, hirshanu, umaradnu. Now, the question obviously is Remeyah. Rabbanan are saying a very strong svara. Rabbanan are saying that we go in order. First we say the smaller averus and then the more serious averus. But according to Remeyah, he says that's the opposite. But there's even a bigger question, Remeyah. If Remeyah, for whatever reason, feels that we're going to go in order, and instead of going from the small averus to the big averus, we're going to go from the more serious averus to the lesser averus, so Remeyah should have said, first Pashanu, which represents the worst of a rebelling, then Hevinu, which is Mezid, and then Chatanu, which is Shagig. He's not even going in the other order. He has some sort of a mixed up order. So I saw a few pshatim. One pshat is, this is the pshat that most Mefarshim say, Remeyah speaks about the various people do most often. And he says, that Aveir b'mezit, which we explained before, means taiva. Somebody just couldn't control himself, are the most commonly done averus. That's why it's mentioned first. Then we have averus that a person does that he rebels. That's mentioned second. And then averus b'shoigig are done the least, and therefore are mentioned last. The Malbim says a similar teretz with a different knetch. He says that actually, Remeyah goes with the averus that are done least often. Taiva, a person knows that something's wrong, is done the least. Then you have people that rebel. They don't care. That's more common. And then shagig, which comes from, unfortunately, not learning and not knowing what's right or wrong, is most common. So Remeyah is using most common in the other direction, according to the Malbim. All the Mefarshim say like this. When a person does an avera, b'mezid, or b'mered, rebelling, he knows what he did. It was premeditated, as we said earlier. So it's most likely that he's going to remember what aveira he did. And now it comes Yom Kippur. He's going to do tshuva, or whatever he's doing, vidui, and he mentions all three aveiras. So he mentions aveiras that he did b'mezid. That, once he mentions the aveiras that he did b'mezid, that will help him remember that he did many aveiras b'shogig, and he'll mention the shogig also. So by remembering and mentioning the aveiras that he did, and he remembers, because he didn't premeditate it, it brings him to remember the aveiras that he did b'shogig, that he doesn't necessarily remember. But now the question is, according to the Chachamim, the order is we go from the least serious to the most serious. Shogig, mezid, merid. But Ramei quoted a pasuk. He quoted the pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu, where Moshe Rabbeinu mentioned mezid, merid, shogig. So what are Rabbanan going to do with the pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu? El Masha Omer Moshe, Noisei Oven V'Fesh V'Chato. So we see that Moshe Rabbeinu followed the order Ramea told us to say, not the order the Chachamim say. Say there's a different pshat to what Moshe Rabbeinu is saying. Moshe Rabbeinu is not teaching us the order. Moshe Rabbeinu was saying the following: Amar Moshe l'fnei Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, b'shas sheYisrael chaytun l'fnecha. I beg of you, it's a tefillah, that if Klal Yisrael does an aveira, v'oisin tshuva, and then they do tshuva, aselem z'doynus kishkagas. Even though they did that aveira b'mezid, please, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in your great mercy, make it that it should not be considered a mezid, make it to be considered a shogeg. So the Mefarshim ask, why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu ask, and that we actually know that certain times, we'll learn it later in the Masechta, the aveiras become kezachyos, the aveiras turn into mitzvahs. So why did he say that the aveira that he did b'mezid should be considered like a shogeg, it should be considered like a zachyos? So two answers are given. I saw. One answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu was speaking before Yom Kippur. And he's saying, before Yom Kippur, the Zedonis should become like Shkagos. And what will Yom Kippur accomplish? What Yom Kippur will accomplish is that the Averis will become Zachius. So it's a two-step process. First, the Zedonis is Shkagos, and then Yom Kippur turns them into Zachius. Another answer, which is the commonly given answer, it makes a difference how the Tshuva was done. If the Tshuva was done Miyira, from fear, then the Averis could come Shkagos. That's what Ramash Rabbeinu was referring to in this pasuk. When do Averis come Zachyos? When the Tshuva was done Tshuva Me'ahava. But that's a very hard level of Tshuva. Now, the Gvuris Ari asks, Ramei quoted two psukim, the pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu and the pasuk of Noisei Oven Ofesh V'Chata. Why does the Gemara only have a problem with the Chachamim from the pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu, not from the pasuk of Noisei Oven Ofesh V'Chata? So he answers, as we said before, since that pasuk is speaking about specific kabonos, that can't necessarily serve as a prototype for all averis. That's why the Gemara isn't concerned about that pasuk, it's only concerned about the pasuk of Moshe Rabbeinu. Amar Rav bar Shmuel, Amar Rav halacha kedivrei Chachamim. The halacha is like Chachamim. As the Amar Pshita, obviously, throughout Shas, we know what a halacha is. Yochid v'rabim. We have Rameya arguing with Rabbanan, halacha Rameya. Answers the Gemara. Ma'adatayim mistabatamad Rameya. Here I should say that the halacha is like Rameya, the kamasayle kro de Moshe, the pasuk that we just quoted from Moshe Rabbeinu, before we said this new pshat in that pasuk, seems to indicate that the order is the way Rameya said it, kamash malon, that we don't pass from that way. Says the Gemara, Hu de nachas kamei de Rava. Somebody was a shlich tzibur. In those days, the shlich tzibur stood on a lower platform. So that's why a nachas, he went down. Vavit kremeya. And he said the vidui in the same nusach as Rameya. Omalei. So the people there said, Shaftkus rabbonim vavit kremeya. Are you ignoring what rabbonim say and you're acting like Rameya? Omalei kremeya sphirli. I agree with Rameya. K'iksib a sefer reis of the Moshe. Because Rameya is following what Moshe Rabbeinu said. And like the Mefarshim explained, it wasn't that Rava agree with Rameya. Rava Vada held like the Chachamim, that you're supposed to say, Chatanu Avinu Pashanu. jest. Here we have a Baal Tefillah, Shliach Tzibur, that said, like Reb Meir, given that this Baal Tefillah had such a strong backing, the pasuk of Reb Moshe Rabbeinu, to go and embarrass him and tell him that what he's doing is wrong, even though he felt was inappropriate, given that he has a pasuk backing up his order. But the Baritz Chai says, when is the halacha that we don't correct a Baal Tefillah that says it in this order? The halacha is only that way, says the Maritz Chayis, before we have the Shulchan Aruch. The Gemara was before the times of the Shulchan Aruch. So there's no explicit psak that the right order is Chatan Avinu Pshanu. Now, he says, we have a Shulchan Aruch, and the Shulchan Aruch clearly tells us that the right order is Chatan Avinu Pshanu. We're not allowed to change from the order that the Shulchan Aruch tells us to follow, which is the order of the Chachamim, and we're about tefillah to do differently. Even in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, he ought to be corrected. Rav Shach and the Avi Ezri, and actually the Minchas Chinuch discusses the Shaila, this is the order that was used by the Vidui on Yom Kippur. They ask, what's the halacha if somebody did an Aver B'Shagig? He knows that he only did the Aver B'Shagig when he does tshuva. And as the Rambam teaches us in Hilchos Tshuva, Vidui is an integral component of doing tshuva. When he says the vidui, does he have to say chatanu avinu pashanu? Or does he just have to say chatanu? Since he did the averi b'shagig, so he only has to speak about the fact that he did averi b'shagig and not mention avinu pashanu. The Michas Chinuch says that he only has to say chatanu. He only did averi b'shagig, he's doing tshuva for averi that he did b'shagig, and he only has to say chatanu. Rav Shach and the Avi Ezri says that even though he did the Aveira only b'shagig, when he does tshuva and he says vidui, he should also say avinu pashanu. Why? So he explains, every Aveira b'shagig has in it an element of amazit. What does b'shagig mean? He didn't realize it's an Aveira. He didn't learn. So there's amazit there. He should have learned. That you can't say is a pure shagig, and therefore even when the person did the Aveira b'shagig, when he says vidui and he does tshuva for the Aveira, he should say chatanu avinu pashanu.